We don't have any visitors, but we do have some family members come back. Amen. It's good to see. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the first time I get to minister in 2019. Can you believe it's February already? February already. Did you hear the news this morning that the GPSs may not be working right? The North Pole's actually shifted. That's the truth. It was on the news this morning. But it's going to get corrected. The cars will take the track at Daytona Motor Speedway on Saturday morning. And then chilly Sunday, that's like the pre-race party for the NASCAR fan Super Bowl, which is the Daytona 500. So if I look a little more excited than normal, that's why. It's been a long 2 months off season. That's all I can say. Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. I don't have a huge TV. Maybe we could talk Dean into letting us. He got like a drive-in theater in his house. 70-inch television. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it seems just like yesterday, my cousins Terry and Sue were making fun of me because I didn't graduate high school until 1980. I can still remember him saying, 1980, it's never going to get here. Well, here I am standing in the pulpit, which is another miracle in and of itself, 39 years later. Unbelievable. I just want to give you some wisdom that I got from my brother, our brother, Rich Martin. He said to me once, he said, Dean, life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, the faster it rolls. That is so true. Fortunately for me, most of you in here are older than me, so you know better than I do. Oh, Lord. Church, I am not a prophet. I don't claim to be a prophet. But I'm going to submit this to you as a prediction. I believe that 2019... is going to be a pivotal year for this church family and for the ministry that is Aliquippa Christian Assembly for many reasons, not the least of which is our longtime pastor decided to retire from full-time ministry, and now we have his hand-chosen heir, Pastor Jack Robison, who's doing a wonderful job. Amen. My brother from another mother became my pastor. It's awesome. But I believe that you and I have much work to do. Yeah, you stand up here, you see those words float out like this, and they just bounce off the foreheads and fall to the floor. I said, you and I have much work to do.
Including the pastor.
Yeah, your excitement's overwhelming up here. I'm not moved by what I see. I received my assignment for 2019 from the Lord back in November. Like so many of my messages, my assignment came during one of our jail ministry meetings. And if I remember correctly, Anthony, you and I were in together. I think Bob was in New England. But anyway, one of the young brothers in there were talking, and he spoke one word. He said, diligence. I'm not trying to be overdramatic, but to me, it was like time sort of stopped, and that word diligence didn't hit me in the head, it hit me right in the chest. Boom. Diligence. It took me off guard. I don't even remember what he said after that. Because I was just sort of like, wow, what just happened? And then he said diligence again, and another shot to the chest. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I get the message, diligence. So I'm about to make a statement, Pastor Jack and Elder Denny and Elder Bob, I submit to you. If I'm out of line, I submit to you guys. You just shout it out. We'll shut this down and we'll just have prayer tonight. But it's my experience in ministry that I am never better than when I'm standing in a pulpit or in the case of ministering in the room that we have our Bible study in the jail. I'm never better. And that's because of the anointing, church. I'm never better than when I'm under the anointing of Almighty God. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about the anointing. And I tell folks all the time, you know what? I'm no different than you. You could get up here and preach. Because we've been taught by the same pastors, same leadership. I say we've been taught by the best, because I believe that with all that I am. But seriously, this, the actual delivery of a message, this is the best part. I mean, you stand up here under the anointing in the presence of Almighty God. You have unbelievable focus, and it's almost like a peace comes over you and you're along for the ride. Half the time when I leave, I don't even remember faces in here. It's just, it's awesome. What an honor. What a privilege. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to figure out a way to take it home. It stays right on this platform, and it stays in that room in the jail. But I can remember walking out that night, and I told Anthony, I said, you know, I believe I got my next message. It's going to be on diligence. And let me just say that I probably should have practiced diligence more than just studying it, because although I got my assignment in November and I started working on it in December, I didn't finish tonight's message until last night. So God has a sense of humor, church. I'm telling you. I'm just saying, He has a sense of humor. So when I say the word diligence, what's the first thing that comes to your mind, Doc? When I say the word diligence. Pardon me? Persistence? Somebody else? Pap? Diligence. What do you think of when I say diligence? Committed. That's a good one. Anybody else have something to add? Hard work. Excellent. Don't quit. Who said that? Nice. I like it. So what I did was I went to Webster's Dictionary and I looked up the definition. And Webster's Dictionary said steady, earnest, and energetic effort, persevering application. I didn't want to stop with Webster's. I was on the internet anyway, so I went to the internet dictionary, dictionary.com. Its definition is constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken, persistent exertion of body or mind. Now, when I read that, I immediately thought of my dad. You know, he's Mr. If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And he's been demonstrating that diligence my entire life. Would that he would have put more diligence in being at church tonight. Yes, I'm going to scorch him on CD for not being here. There's reasons why church, they don't miss very often. If you don't believe me, you don't even have to take my word for it. Just ask Pastor Jack how steadily, constantly, and earnestly he accomplished running the vacuum sweeper at Aliquippa Christian Assembly when he was doing it. I mean, ever since I was little, he's always taken things he set the bar so high. You come to my house, you look at my electrical panel. The wires are in there, but they're not just in there. They're running up the wall. They come in parallel, 90-degree bend, parallel into every one of those switches. It's amazing. And it was like that with everything he did. So when I looked at those definitions, Ernest was in there twice, so maybe I ought to get the definition of earnest. So I looked up earnest, and it just confirmed my thoughts of my dad. It's characterized or proceeding from an intense and serious state of mind. Grave and important, okay? So, What I would like to do is take all those adjectives and just do like the Amplified Bible did. We're going to come up with our own ACA Amplified definition for diligence. Are you ready for this? You're going to like this. Diligence is a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort to accomplish the gravely important task that's undertaken. Let me read that again. Diligence is a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort to accomplish the gravely important task that is undertaken. By the looks on your faces, you're probably thinking, is he really going to teach a lesson on diligence? Yeah, I am. I'm already exhausted. He hasn't even gotten to the first scripture yet. Diligence is going to be no fun at all. Cry me a river, okay? This is Wednesday, right? I know it's quiet in here, but this is Wednesday, and you are Bannonites, right? Suck it up, Buttercup. Seriously, church, you know, you might think somehow that diligence is not going to be compatible with your personality. Not true. Maybe you, when you think of diligent people, you think of the high-energy go-getters who accomplish more in one day than you do in a month, right? The idea that you need to be like them might just wear you out. So if that's you, let me do my best Sean Hannity impression and tell you, let not your hearts be troubled. You know, he stole that from Jesus, right? Okay, just so you know. But I suspect that, yeah, you're going to be challenged with what the scriptures have to say about diligence, but you're not going to be challenged to be somebody that you're not. A life of diligence is compatible with everybody's temperament in every stage of life. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want to make sure that didn't go over her head. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's compatible with everybody's temperament in every stage of life, church. Ultimately, a diligent life is peaceful and satisfying, and that's because at the end of the day, diligent people have a settled sense that they have done what they're supposed to do. If we understand a life of diligence properly, we're going to run toward it instead of away from it, okay? And here's the best part. If you're completely honest with yourself, you're going to find out that you're pretty close already. Amen? Because we're so well taught here. So if you brought your Bibles tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something I never did before. I just want you to hold them up. Whether they're bound or whether they're on the electronic device, just hold them up. And I want you to repeat this after me. Say, Father God, thank you for your word. I believe that everything from Genesis to the maps is the infallible truth. You inspired it and you wrote it to me. And I am so grateful. Please use it to speak to me. Tonight, and every single time that I open it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me rightly divide this word. Tonight, and every single time I open it. This is the one thing I need that supplies all that I need. In your best Pastor Bannon, say the word, the word, the word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a nice hand clap. This is your house, Father God. It's all about you. All right. Now open those Bibles to Proverbs. This is the scripture that came to my mind when diligence was assigned to me. Familiar scripture. You probably were thinking about it when I said diligence. But look to verse 23 in Proverbs 4. Anthony, salute. Proverbs 4, verse 23, New King James. Keep your heart with all diligence. There it is. For out of it spring the issues of life. Let's put our ACA amplified definition in there, okay? Remember, we said that diligence is a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort to accomplish the gravely important task that is undertaken. So the verse reads this way. Keep your heart with a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort. Why? For out of it spring the issues of life. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Listen to the Amplified Classic Bible. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. So they added another word in here, vigilance. To be vigilant means alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. Alertly watchful, especially to avoid danger. Church, I know this is dry. Just stick with me, okay? So if we add all that back into the Amplified text, this is how it reads. Keep and guard your heart with a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort, being alertly watchful to avoid danger, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Brother Jack, that would be the amplified classic version. So let's read this in context. And to do that, we need to read verses 23 through 27. New King James, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. And verse 27, do not turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. Let me read you the life application study note for those verses. It says, our heart, our feelings of love and desire dictates to a great extent how we live because we always find time to do what we enjoy. Solomon tells us to guard our hearts above all else, making sure we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path. Make sure your affections lead you in the right direction. Put boundaries on your desires. Don't go after everything you see. Look straight ahead. Keep your eyes fixed on your goal and don't get sidetracked on detours that lead to sin. I want to read those verses out of the Message Bible because I love it so. It says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. I like that. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. So now we see the kind of dangers that we need to avoid, right? It all ties in. Church, I've made mistakes in the past by trying to put too much information in one single lesson. So I'm just telling you now, we're probably going to be out of here in around 35 minutes. This is only going to be the first of, you know, unless Pastor Jack or someone else shuts me down, however many lessons it takes. There's a lot of material. You know, right now we've really barely scratched the surface of diligence. I mean, we only read one account of Scripture, and we can already see the intensity that's going to be required. So, what I want to do tonight is simply lay the groundwork by trying to understand the essence of the virtue of diligence. A good definition for the virtue of diligence is a decisive, intentional approach to life. And those two words you're going to keep hearing over and over again. You know, it's decisive, intentional. Decisive, intentional. And eventually, we're going to go through the Word. We're going to take a look at some folks in the Bible who are going to help us recognize and apply these principles so that we can be successful in our pursuit of a life of diligence. So, you know, I don't know how often I'll be here, but, you know, fortunately we have ladies who, Kyle puts it on electronics and ladies duplicate it. I know they stream it on the website also. So I hope we get this. Amen. But first things first, let's take a look at a couple of occurrences on the term diligence and then try to get a basic sense of what it is. So you're there in Proverbs. We're just going to stay there. Look to chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 27. Excuse me, King James. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. Now, I gave you man's definition of diligence a little bit ago, but I want to look at the Hebrew words. The actual root of the term that's translated diligence has a number of different connotations, but the most literal connotation is to cut or sharpen. Metaphorically, the term is used of sharpness as an attitude, again, being decisive and intentional. But perhaps the connection is that when you cut something, you've done something very decisive, in some cases irreversible. Hence the term, you know, measure twice and cut once. Because when you cut something, it's kind of hard to undo. But if you are diligent, you act in a decisive and intentional way. I want you to get that. Decisive and intentional way. In verse 27, diligence is contracted with slothfulness or laziness. You know, this person's obviously gone out hunting. He has, you know, shot and killed or trapped an animal, but he's too lazy to dress it out and cook it. And I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I was hoping my dad was going to be here. When Dean shot his first deer, we weren't with him. He was on his own. But my dad and I walked up to him, and he insisted on dressing the deer himself. He would not take any of our help. And I'm telling you, we got a belly laugh for like a half an hour. When he was done, I'm talking head to toe. It was a mess. That's another story for another time. But this person, because he lacks diligence, not only has he wasted time and energy, he wasted the food that his family could have been eating, right? This is like a person who goes out and plants a garden, Denny, and leaves the fruit rotten on a vine, you know? So let me just say that a lack of diligence means a lot of waste and unfilled potential. Say that again. A lack of diligence means a lot of waste and unfilled potential. And I want to read the life application study note for that scripture as well. It says, the diligent make wise use of their possessions and resources. The lazy waste them. Waste has become a way of life for those who live in a land of plenty. That's us. Waste is poor stewardship. Make good use of everything God has given you and prize it. Prize it. By contrast, it says the precious possession of man is diligence. A diligent man will not only trap an animal, he would see that it actually made its way to the dinner table. Whereas a slothful man loses focus and lacks follow through, a diligent man is decisive, here we go, and intentional. He remembers why he has gone hunting, to put food on a table, and he doesn't quit until that purpose is accomplished. Remember our definition again? a constant, steady, and intensely serious effort to accomplish the gravely important task that is undertaken. Let's take a look at a couple more. Let's look to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. I want to read this out of several translations. New King James, Proverbs chapter 21, look to verse 5, church, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty. Not a whole lot of gray area there. The Amplified Classic, the thoughts of the steadily diligent tend only to plenteousness, but everyone who is impatient and hasty hastens only to want. New Living Translation says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. In the Message, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you farther behind. So in this scripture, diligent is being contrasted with being hasty. All through Proverbs, if you're hasty, you're just not content with the normal ongoing processes of life. You want things to happen quickly, and so you take shortcuts, and you bounce around from one thing to another. You know, the classic example of someone who's after a get-rich-quick scheme. Say that. Say, get-rich-quick scheme. Hold your place there in chapter 21. Look to chapter 28. Proverbs 28, verse 20. You know this scripture. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Classic first. It says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich at any cost shall not go unpunished. But the Message Bible hit it out of the park. You ready? Committed and persistent work pays off. Get rich quick schemes are ripoffs. I love the Message Bible. I'm serious. I laugh out loud when I read it. Okay, back to chapter 21, church. Similar to what we just read there in verse 20, here in Proverbs 21:5, we read that everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty, want. You know, one translation says further behind. By contrast, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Amplified Classic, plenteousness, prosperity. One translation says leads to an advantage. Deciding on a wise, sane course of action and sticking with it pays off in the long run. And we're going to see that probably in the next message, that it's true in all areas of life. A diligent person has a strong sense of what he or she is supposed to do and is therefore, say it with me, decisive and intentional with every endeavor. And Proverbs isn't advocating that, you know, we're going to live this monotonous life of drudgery and where we just make plans and carry them out no matter what because we're supposed to. No, we want to be diligent because we want to align our lives with God and His ways. Not our ways, His. We're diligent because we don't want to waste our lives and all the opportunities that God gives us. We're diligent because life is too short. It's too precious just to let it flitter away. A diligent person is wholehearted in everything he or she does. Instead of being tentative or passive or lukewarm, what Jesus say? He said if you were lukewarm, he's going to what? Spew you out of his mouth. No, a diligent person has a sense of what he or she will be doing and therefore goes for it. Another way to talk about it is to say the diligent person is passionate about life. Would you like it if somebody said you're passionate about life, Doc? So would I. So I'll close with this. If you're diligent, you live like you mean it. You live like you mean it. So that's what I have as far as the message go. But I just want to tell you that I've already begun to put these principles to use in my everyday life. I know Debbie's noticed the changes, but not necessarily the reasons behind it. Little things like taking a bigger role in, you know, helping with dishes and carrying laundry. But I have actually started doing minor home repairs, which if you knew me, you would know that, you know, I used to tell everybody, Tim the Tool Man has nothing on me. I mean, I literally would be the guy who would fix a drain and break the dryer hose. It was 10 feet. It's ridiculous. And it's been a point of frustration for me. And basically, I'm not saying it to brag on myself because that's not what it's about. I want to encourage you that if it works for me, it's going to work for everybody. Because what ends up happening is when you have a few successes, you start to lose that fear of failure, right? So I just want to encourage you. We all need to step it up, folks, especially this year, this ministry, this church family. We need to step it up. Can I get a better amen? Amen. We can start by doing the things that Pastor Jack's been encouraging us to do. Praying for the vision of this house is going to be vital for everybody. Amen? You know, using our monthly newsletter as our prayer guide, there's going to be great information coming from Ms. Sherry, ways that we can reach out. Amen. Church, we need to step it up because this place, I'm telling you, this ministry is going to explode. I can feel it. I believe it with every ounce of my being. And we're ready. We've been trained by the best, folks. We are ready. We have more than enough because we serve El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do, do it wholeheartedly. Don't hold back. Do it on purpose. Do it like you mean it. Decisive. What's the other word? Intentional. Maybe you're good at sorting clothes. That is not my strong suit. I help move the clothes around. Yep, I'll do that. I'll come and help clean up every time. But you ain't going to catch me back there sorting clothes. It's just not my thing. But it might be yours. If that's your thing, we got a whole lot of clothes every time we have Fit for a King clothing drive. Angela, Sherry, I know they covet your help. Amen? Maybe he's given you a desire to help Brother Bob. Elder Bob, excuse me. He earned that title. Bring some folks down for the services at the old Friendship Ridge. You know, I finally stopped calling it the Geriatric Center and they changed the name again. What's up with that? Maybe you've been called to the jail ministry. We welcome you, man. I mean, ours is a little different because we have annual training and it's only offered once a year. But if that's what God called you to do, don't let that stop you. Don't let that keep you. Wait till it comes up and jump on it, man. We would love to have you. Brother Bob Cannon came in, changed the entire dynamic of our ministry, has he not, Anthony? Love ministering with those guys. Both Anthony, Bob Cannon, my dad, I'm telling you, powerful ministry. Something else, spring's coming. I think I heard on the way up, I could hear that grass starting to grow, Pastor Jack. You know, we lost a vital member of our grass cutting crew when Brother Lou went home to be with Jesus. And he can't be replaced. But you know what? We need somebody to step up in that spot. If that's you, if that's your calling, man, call Pastor Jack. Get on a rotation. Church, I just want to tell you, opportunities here are endless. And call Miss Teresa. I'm sure she'll be able to provide you with some direction if you don't know which way to go. But the bottom line is you're not just needed. You're wanted here. I don't care how new you think you are. You are not only needed, you are wanted. Get involved. Do it on purpose. So I encourage you, find your piece of the vision of the house. Amen? I'm going to do my part. I'm going to keep studying diligence. I'm going to encourage you with the word. But be passionate about what you do here. Do it on purpose. Serve the Lord like you mean it. Amen? Amen. If you have need of prayer, I'll be here. Elders are here. I'll be happy to pray with you. If not, I'll just pray.